Well, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm glad somebody broke that cycle.
Yep.
Yeah, so...
Every week. I'm not bad, thank you. How are you?
Oh, yeah, not too bad, thanks. I think we're about as on the ball as a dead seal this week.
Indeed we are. Having done most of our preparation about 15 minutes ago, everything is going swimmingly. But in the week that a BBC Sport presenter used his hand as an iPad, bits of space started raining onto the planet, and thousands of people across the country have signed up to be 27 grand in debt, we have prepared you this week's episode of the Geekly Chronicles.
We have indeed. We have our usual favourites. We have the Tumble Fumble, which has just kind of turned into the all-round general fumble of awesomeness.
Stuff Catherine found on the internet.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
We've got our usual bad songs of the week. We'll be talking about all manner of different bits and pieces, including, did you know there is a metal band called Oakley Dokley that was named after Ned Flanders?
What?
Yeah, a Ned Flanders-themed band.
Why does that exist?
I don't know, but it does. And we also have a new segment on the show as well.
Blimey.
A brand new segment, indeed.
Good Lord.
I drove my tractor through your haystack last night. I threw me pitchfork at your dog to keep...
Can you tell what it is yet?
I think it's more of a seasonal segment.
Yep. As revealed on the show last time around, Catherine has a bit of an obsession with combine harvesters.
Yes, this is true.
And so we'll be pumping Catherine for more information about combine harvesters and how many she has seen during the show this week. We also really want to play your requests as well. We only have a couple of songs that we haven't already played you that we like, really. So it'd be great to have you suggest some music for us to play.
It would indeed.
Yeah,
people are
absolutely
already doing that, in fact. And you can do that using our snazzy new IRC request thingy. If you are in the chat room on the website, just type !! request and then the name of your song or a link to your song or basically any information that will help us find your song.
And people can do that over Twitter as well, which
you
is
can
great.
Indeed.
Just not with the !!
Yeah, use a hashtag, put hashtag request, tweet at us, and we will try and find the song you're talking about. We are at GKLYCO.
So that's a hash, then the word hashtag, and then...
Yes, that's exactly how Twitter works.
So hashtag, the word hash, the hashtag, and then the word hashtag.
Yes.
To at GKLY.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Great.
You can also call us or send us a text as well. So those phone numbers are available on the screen if you go to the website, gkoy.co. And if you aren't already in the IRC chat room, you can do that by heading to the website, clicking on the chat link as well, which is all good. Catherine, anything to add?
Not that I can think of.
No, how can people get in touch with you?
I don't know.
Would you rather they didn't?
Probably. I'm not, as you say, on the ball as a dead seal. If people contact me, I probably just miss it.
Yeah. Hello, Catherine! No! But it didn't work. No. So, hey.
Well, there we are.
I mean, they can. I'm sure they can work it out.
Work out how to talk to you. Hello.
Okay.
Should we do a show then?
Yeah, that might be good.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I don't really have a plan.
It was indeed results day this week for a lot of people. But it's also results day next week, right?
Yes.
So we have the important ones this week and the less important ones next week.
Yes, next week is results day 2, revenge of the GCSE grades.
And then it's about 2 or 3 weeks until everyone realises that the grades they've essentially just received mean nothing.
Well, that was a noise.
It was a noise.
I wonder how that happened.
It was a noise made by me turning off the noises.
Ah.
Which is just a really helpful
That's
feature
counterproductive.
Of
Hooray
Windows 10.
For Windows 10.
Wow. So Catherine's got Windows 10 in front of her. Neither Chris or I have seen or touched Windows 10 yet. So we might have to attempt to vaguely...
ignore that forever.
We might attempt to get to have you give us a live review, but no, apparently we're just going to ignore it forever.
Sounds good.
Yeah, has anything else been released? I'm kind of feeling like this is a bit of a slow time of year for technology. I mean, it's the summer, everyone goes out and does summery things,
goes outdoors and
enjoys
speaks to other people instead of using their technology.
Well, I mean, so, I've still used a lot of technology. I just haven't. Is there anything new?
Not really.
I almost bought a PS Vita the other day because they're now a retro console.
Yeah. Sure.
Although I almost bought a Wii U the other day as well because I really want a Wii U.
Still reminds me of Sirens.
What, a Wii U?
Yes.
Wii U. I see what you did.
Yeah, that's the punchline. Glad you found it.
Yeah. But I don't know. A lot of people I know keep talking about Wii U, and I'm kind of tempted more for the social side of it than anything. But I don't know. Should I get a Wii U? You're shaking your head.
Well, I don't know. No, nobody I know is talking about it. So I have no desire to get one. So I don't know. You wouldn't be being social with me. But that might be the point.
I need more friends.
I need other friends that aren't you.
Wake up, you're there. I go to bed, you're there. No, wait, hang on.
No, that's not right.
No.
No, we actually live in the studio.
Yeah, that's right.
The studio
is actually in these chairs.
Yes, the studio is actually a bunker several thousand feet underground, and we've been locked in it for the best part of the last century.
Yeah. Did you mean decade?
No.
Okay. So you can also tell me. You can also tell me this week whether you think I should buy a Wii U or not. Is all good. So to get you kicked off on our bad song of the week this week, before we go any further, we'll introduce these to you. As a reminder again, Chris and myself both pick a bad song, and you, the listeners, get to vote and tell us which is the worst of the two. And Chris has actually picked a song that I like this week as his bad song. As a reminder, you can go to gkoy.co/bad and vote for them once we have told you what they are. So, what's yours?
Well, my song is called Life, and it's by an artist called Desri, real name.
I don't wanna see a ghost. It's the sight that I fear most. I'd rather have a piece of toast. Watch the evening news.
Actual lyrics of a number 8 song.
Yeah, I liked that song. I helped get that song to number 8. I went and bought a copy of it when it came out.
Uh-huh.
It's a really good song. It's just someone singing about life.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to see a ghost. It's the sight that I fear most.
I'd rather have a piece of toast and watch the evening news. See, it's a good song.
Mm-hmm. No, it isn't.
Well, I think it is.
I think mainly it depends on what was on the toast.
Oh, no, controversial.
That's a good point, actually. That's a good
ghost
point.
Try our new ghost spray.
I can't believe
zero
ghost
calories.
Also, my bad song of the week is a song that I think is actually bad. And it's called Patrick Moore Plays the Xylophone. It's really bad. It is. Why are you shaking your head?
Because nobody in this song so far has sung about toast.
But people are about to sing about, wait...
I see no issue with this. If Patrick Moore wants to play the xylophone, then Patrick Moore can play the xylophone.
Patrick Moore cannot play the xylophone for one very, very obvious reason.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a xylophone. But it's it's a terrible song. The singing is terrible. It's an earworm. So your song doesn't get into people's heads. This song you will be singing, Patrick Moore has a xylophone, for the rest of your life. And those are the only words in the song. Except for Patrick, I want more.
Yeah, no.
So I'm sorry. It just feels like there's no competition.
Yeah, well, you know, it's only got like 5 lyrics. Patrick Moore plays the xylophone.
Yeah, so it's a worse song than your song.
Well, no, it has less room for error.
So you're saying that songs should only have 1 or 2 lyrics and then they're perfect?
you've got less room for error. You can't go wrong if you've got like one word.
So all the Beatles should have just had one or two words in their songs. Like Yellow Submarine should have literally just had Yellow Submarine. Yeah, that over and
over.
I'd
probably like it more if they did that.
Hey Jude. Hey Jude, hey Jude.
Again, I'd probably like it more if they did that. But,
fair enough.
Yes, no, that...
Rap would be absolutely terrible.
Rap is already absolutely terrible.
Controversial.
Probably not.
Can you hear someone typing?
It's me. Shocker.
I'm surprised.
Get the hints.
It's important. I'm looking for something.
Okay. We'll turn Catherine's microphone down for a moment. So those are our bad songs of the week then. You can either vote for Life by Desiree.
I don't want to see a ghost. It's a sight that I fear most. Rather have a piece of toast. Watch the evening news.
And also... Patrick Moore plays his xylophone.
Your song at least has a coherent sentence in it.
So does this one.
My song.
I don't want to see a ghost. Yeah, it's my song that I fear most.
My song's sentences work only in that they have words in them. They don't make any sense.
Well, that's life. Ha! See what I did there? Why do you look like you've suddenly decided you don't like me anymore?
I'm surprised 7 episodes in, you're only coming to this realization now.
Yeah,
So, yeah, you can vote for those songs and come to the ultimate decision that mine is clearly worse at gkly.co/bad.
Vote for me, I've got cookies.
We both have cookies if you have cookies. We are in the same room.
I'm willing to share mine.
I'm willing to steal yours.
Vote for me.
Vote for me.
Vote for me.
Vote for me.
Vote for me. Vote anyway, for me. On the theme of Patrick Moore, you were telling me that they have apparently found a new planet.
They have indeed. They've found a planet that apparently looks a little bit like Jupiter. And by looks a little bit, I mean there's all sorts of science reasons why it's like Jupiter.
But go on.
Quite
what are
understand
they?
It. Apparently it's 100 light years away that resembles an infant version of Jupiter. Which
do they have baby photos of Jupiter?
Apparently they do. It says on the BBC, it says the new world known as 51 Eridani B is
just
only,
as catchy.
Indeed, is only 20 million years old, a toddler by astronomical standards.
Wow.
Yeah. Space okay. toddlers. That's
so we've
that's
got
a
space
thing.
Toddler that looks like Jupiter.
Yeah.
Okay. So when are we going there?
Do you want? I mean, we could go now.
How long would it take?
Well, it's 100 light years away, so a while.
So, an hour?
Yeah, probably. Bring some car snacks.
Okay.
But yeah, apparently it looks like Jupiter, it quacks like Jupiter.
Well, how do we know? So have we taken photos of it?
Well, the Gemini Planet Imager, which... appears to be essentially a space camera. It says it looks for faint young planets orbiting bright, relatively nearby stars. Found it. It says it's got a very strong methane signature, which...
Well, so do I after a curry.
Yeah, but apparently so does Jupiter.
Yeah, after a curry or
with
just
or without curry.
Right.
So that the strongest methane signature ever detected on an alien planet, it says. Because previous... We've found lots of Jupiters, or fake Jupiters, but most of them don't have a lot of methane. And apparently the fart quantity is the metric on which we have determined whether this planet is like Jupiter.
Interesting.
So
and on a similar note to having giant cameras look at space babies, there's an article in the news about the paparazzi who are apparently harassing...
our own space baby.
Our own space babies.
Yes.
George and... What's the other one's name? Priscilla?
Something like that. I don't know.
It
appears... Well, the BBC article says it's...
What's the other one's name, Catherine?
Little baby royal family
thing. Yeah, it's George and... What's her face?
Oh, something beginning with C. Charlotte.
Charlotte. That's is it Charlotte?
The one I'm googling. Royal baby.
As you can tell,
Princess
we are all
Charlotte.
Princess Charlotte.
There we go.
So, I mean, as you can tell, we are all
royal points.
Yes, yes. Royal points. We are all very, very patriotic here. We know everything about the royal family, as you can see. But yes, there is an article. The royal people have put out a letter saying, "Please don't buy any paparazzi photos of us or our children. Just leave us alone, especially when we're in public." What do you think about that? I mean, you know, there are people from both sides of the argument. I was listening to Radio 4 earlier, and a member of the paparazzi was on saying, "Well, this is in the public interest. People want these pictures. People are willing to pay us for these pictures, so we're going to take them." The royal family obviously saying, "Please don't photograph us. It kind of invades our privacy." Mm. What do you think?
Well, as you say, I can see it both ways. People do want pictures of the royal family for some inexplicable reason, but also the paparazzi are taking photos of some random baby, essentially, which is a bit weird. Were it not for the fact that he's a royal family member, so according to the BBC article, the photographers have used long-range lenses to photograph the Duchess of Cambridge playing with her son in private parks. So there's also, you know, the kind of grey area of should the paparazzi really be there? Are they, I mean, at public events where, I say, if Prince George opened a school, now I'm just imagining him trying to hold those giant scissors.
But I mean, there was one thing in there that was saying that they had used other children to lure George out into the open in playgrounds to take photos.
That's a bit weird, isn't it?
I would say that's probably wrong.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. Apparently, they have monitored the movements of Prince George and his nanny around London parks, as well as the movements of other household staff, which is also kind of infringing on the privacy of the staff, as well. I'm sure they don't particularly enjoy being followed around.
Or maybe they do.
I mean, well, you know, maybe. I don't know.
But is it right, Catherine?
Yeah, I think it's weird. If it was anyone else, it would be seriously weird.
So it should be weird for these people as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess that's sort of the culture we live in now, is one of celebrity.
Then I think, you know, when kids are involved, it's always a bit different. I mean, you know, any photographing of a kid with a, you know, long lensing a child is always going to be strange, no matter who they are.
That is true. Although the Daily Mail have become quite famous for on their website running what's known as the sidebar of shame, where they have little celebrity articles about, hey, look at this.
Salacious gossip
about a celebrity, and a lot of them are children of movie stars and one of the Kardashians and stuff like that. So
I am for my shame going to the Daily Mail website now.
I can't believe that's actually something that has happened.
I just went to a website and it was the wrong one, so actually I didn't know what the Daily Mail website web address was.
Well, that's good.
Yes, here we go. So this sidebar of shame. Sharon Stone poses nude. Yes. Kendall Jenner parades her leggy supermodel figure.
Here's a child one. Just like Mummy, Mylene Klass and Mini-Me daughter Ava look stylish in matching trench coats as they head to work.
That's pretty terrible.
Yeah. And aside from anything else, proves that the Daily Mail don't quite understand what the word matching means, because they are different colours.
Yeah, that's
the coats
true.
In question.
And they're not the same length or anything.
They're not the same length. And
Kylie Minogue wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah. So the sidebar of shame is sort of, in my opinion, the worst bit about celebrity culture. Apparently, it matters when a celebrity has a wardrobe malfunction or goes out with their child or something.
How does a wardrobe malfunction? I mean, it's pretty much just a box with a door.
Door could fall off.
Yeah, I believe a wardrobe malfunction is like when a boob pops out of your wardrobe, like a boggart.
Okay, that would be pretty scary.
Yeah.
I think that's my boggart.
Ridiculous. Turns a boob into a side boob.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. So the sidebar of shame is is the worst thing about Celebrity. It features a lot of celebrities' children, like we were just talking about Mylene Klass's daughter. It's probably the same sort of thing as with Prince George. Obviously, they're famous for a different reason because they're the royal family, but still, should paparazzi be taking pictures of these children? Because through no fault of her own, Mylene Klass's daughter is famous by being descended from a celebrity.
Yeah, and I mean, just scrolling down this sidebar of shame, it goes on and on and on.
There are
literally over 100 articles here that are just literally just shaming people.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And it's disgusting.
I suppose in the past they used to do this and not really know, you know, is this popular, is this not popular? Whereas now they know every click. So there's nowhere to hide. It's obviously the stuff that people who visit Mail Online want to read, isn't it? Otherwise, why would they put it there? And that's just sort of a horrible diagnosis of the human condition.
Yeah.
It really is, because, I mean, they don't print this kind of thing in the actual paper Daily Mail. This is very much a Mail Online thing. People want to be able to go online and, you know, have 10 minutes of, ooh, look at that celebrity doing something I don't agree with.
Yeah.
It is a horrible thing
to just
shame celebrities and pick out, you know, ooh, that doesn't quite fit.
What's the most shameful thing that you've seen, do you think?
In life generally or on the Daily Mail? Because, you know,
in this kind of thing.
Just
the fact that it's there.
Yeah,
the fact that it's there is
pretty.
It's pretty shameful
bad.
On
yeah.
just the readership, I think.
Yeah, it's why whenever anyone says to me that they read that particular website, I do look at them slightly quizzically, I suppose. I find it hard to think that that's something that I would want to support, I suppose.
I see you've never ordered a Starbucks coffee using pretentious language.
I have, but I thought you said Ariana Grande.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to type. So the actual text that was used to request that is £1, then the pound symbol, and then the number one, then the fish emoji, and then the kind of silhouette person emoji.
But did that not request £1 fish, man?
No, that did not. For some reason.
But £1 fish, man, he's in.
Yeah, someone else actually used words like a normal human to request the £1 fish song.
Oh, right.
Which, as a previous bad song, we will not be playing. But yeah.
Yeah, so someone has requested Brand New Combine Harvester by the Wurzels, which we did already start playing at the start, which actually leads us nicely on to our next conversation.
Indeed.
So,
Catherine.
Combine Harvesters.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I saw one more this week.
That's exciting.
Tacked my tally up to two.
Uh-huh.
It was another New Holland.
Mm. And so what makes a New Holland so distinct? How do you tell a New Holland?
Oh, it's yellow, mainly.
They're always yellow?
Yeah.
Can farmers not repaint them?
I don't think so.
It's against the laws of combine harvest accounting.
Wow. Combine law.
Yes. Yes, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yes, well.
And what did you see?
I spotted a New Holland as well.
So yellow ones.
Yes.
So New Hollands are popular then, are they?
Yeah.
Apparently so.
That seems to be all you ever see these days. You rarely see one another colour.
I can guarantee you there is at least one New Holland somewhere along the M6.
Well, I saw a green one. What does that mean?
Was it sort of dark green or limey green?
Dark green.
Okay, a John Deere, probably?
Might have been. I had no idea. I didn't stop to look, really. I just drove past a combine harvester.
Okay.
Doing some combine harvesting. What does a combine harvester actually do?
Well, it cuts the corn and then kind of strips all the grain out of the ears and then spits out all the straw.
Right. Why?
Because you don't want all the strawy stalks. You just want the grains to make things like flour.
How?
By grinding it up.
Why?
I feel
to
like
to make bread.
How?
Well, Well, you know flour that you buy in the supermarket and then you turn it into bread?
Yes,
<That's how. laughs>
a bit like that. So we wouldn't have bread without combine harvesters?
No, probably not. Well, we would. We wouldn't have as much bread.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, we'd have
because
to,
before
like,
the combine
them.
Harvesters, the men went out with scythes and just cut it all down and tied it into those little bunches.
Right, yeah.
And then put it into, like, into sort of like a haystack, except it was a straw stack.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about all I got.
So when did the first combine harvesters come on the scene, then?
I don't know. They've been around all my life, obviously.
Yeah.
And my granddad used to drive a combine in the summer. So that would have probably been in the 50s and 60s.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know.
What does the internet tell us?
Well, the internet, I'm Googling combine harvester now to see if I can provide you some fun combine harvester facts.
Ooh.
Exciting.
Although now I want to start a Twitter account called Combine Harvester Facts.
Of course you do.
I think we should.
Yes. The Wikipedia says, the combine harvester, or simply combine, is a machine that harvests grain crops.
Woo-hoo.
Yes.
This much we know. It says, Scottish inventor Patrick Bell invented the Reaper in 1826.
Don't fear that, by the way.
Apparently so. The Reaper being a slightly more rudimentary version of the combine harvester, by the looks of things. The combine itself was invented in the United States by Hiram, I have no idea how to say that, Moore in 1834, and early versions were pulled by horse or mule teams.
Interesting.
So
it's a Scottish invention then.
Well,
when did the first kind of properly mechanical ones come on?
Patrick Bell and Hiram Moore, so we have an intriguing Patrick Moore connection.
There you go.
There we go.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm clutching at straws here.
I see what you did there.
A lot like a baler.
Yes.
That would come after the combine harvester.
Indeed. Steam power was used, and George Stockton Berry integrated the combine with a steam engine using straw to heat the boiler, although Wikipedia doesn't say when. After World War II, farms began to use tractors, so they used a tractor to pull along the combine harvester. Excitingly enough. And then they produced a self-propelled... The Holt Manufacturing Company of California produced a self-propelled harvester in 1911.
So 1911, California was really the first...
Your first
automated combine experience.
Yes.
But the original idea came from Scotland.
Apparently so.
So thank you, Scotland, and thank you, California.
Yes.
Woo. I feel enriched.
I feel wiser.
I feel as good as I did the day that I climbed up the little ladder on the side of a combine harvester and had a look in the top. That was a pretty good day.
What did you see?
I can't really remember.
Why?
Why can't I remember?
How?
I've forgotten. It's been many, many years.
Have I ever complimented you on your interview technique?
Yes. I just tend to sit here and ask people those very stark questions
Ben,
and see where they
go. 24 years ago.
How?
Well, so there were these two blue combine harvesters harvesting a field opposite my granny's house.
What do blue ones mean?
A blue is a Massey Ferguson.
Ah.
Quite a nice blue. Anyway, so in those days, farmers actually stopped for lunch and kind of went off for a couple of hours. So
to the pub?
Maybe. I don't know. The pub was near that corner of the field where they parked their combine harvesters, so maybe. And so me and my granny decided to go over and check them out, have a poke around, see what was going on. I climbed up the little ladder on the side and looked in the top.
Was it a life-changing moment?
Well, seeing as I can't actually remember what I saw when I got to the top, it probably wasn't.
Fair enough. Where did your love affair with combine harvester start?
About 2 weeks ago on the on the last episode of this programme. When we all mocked Catherine for counting combine harvesters.
So has anyone listening seen a combine harvester this week? We want to know. Guta said that he's been in the city and so hasn't been able to see any farming. Do combine harvesters regularly pass your house? Tell us.
Indeed.
Let us know.
That's the kind of fascinating insight we get from our listeners in this programme.
Yes, indeed. How are the bad songs doing?
The bad songs, that's something else we can talk about. One person has voted so far for a bad song, and currently in the lead is Patrick Moore Plays the Xylophone.
Hey!
So thanks for that one vote. The rest of you need to vote, and preferably for me.
Vote for Patrick Moore Plays the Xylophone.
Vote. By Bizree.
Vote.
That's a terrible song.
For Patrick Moore Plays the Xylophone.
Don't do that. That's not the bad song. Anyway, do cast your vote. gky.co/bad.
Coffee or tea? Now, it does seem to polarise people, especially here in Britland, where we drink a lot of the tea. And it never ceases to amaze me that I find people that don't like hot beverages at all.
We're looking at one of those.
You don't like hot beverages.
I don't dislike hot beverages.
Would you like a cup of tea?
Not especially.
Would you like a cup of coffee?
I'd drink a cup of coffee.
Okay.
It wouldn't like me, but I would probably drink a cup of coffee.
Catherine, tea, coffee, or both?
Definitely tea over coffee. And rarely coffee, but always tea.
always and forever tea. Now, I love tea, but I do also like coffee.
Okay. That's also a valid lifestyle choice.
It is, but some people
congratulations
say...
Congratulations on your life choices.
People always say to me, well, which do you prefer? Because apparently you have to have a preference between tea or coffee.
I don't think you have to. Most people seem to. But, you know, I don't
know. No, because I like both pretty much equally, really. Just depends on my mood. And Misty, who says, horrified in the IRC channel, who don't like hot beverages?
Again, I'll drink a cup of coffee.
But you don't enjoy it.
Well, coffee doesn't... I'm good with it on the way down. The things it then does to me from the inside, less pleasant.
Yeah, you really have to see the hand movements that Chris is doing right then to actually get the full humour of this situation.
I think it's probably better if they don't.
Especially not if you've had coffee.
Well, quite.
So what do you like then, Misty? Are you a coffee person or a tea person? If you're,
or both.
Yeah, or both. Apparently, or you don't like coffee or tea, but you do like hot chocolate or warm milk. I quite like warm milk. I like hot chocolate too, actually. Just warm beverages in general, I think, are quite nice. Is there any hot beverage that you don't like?
Oh, I don't really like fruit teas much.
I think they taste quite weak. They smell lovely. They don't taste very nice.
Yeah, they're very seductive. They're like, ooh, I want that, I think to myself. I think I'm always expecting them to taste like hot squash.
But people do drink hot squash.
I drink hot squash.
Do you?
Yeah.
And do you enjoy hot squash?
I have Ribena, and I only drink it hot.
My mum used to give me hot Ribena when I was ill, and now Ribena makes me ill.
Ah.
So,
I think I used to have hot Ribena when I was ill, so now it's just enormously comforting.
Ah, so, yeah, psychologically the same thing, but different results.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Misty is flexible, which was information that we didn't ask for, but that's good to know. She loves both when it comes to hot beverages, I'm assuming. So, yay, more people that like tea or coffee or hot chocolate or milk or whatever, which is great. But it is this weird thing. I mean, people in my family are completely polarized between, are they the tea drinkers or the coffee drinkers? And I go in like, well, I like both.
And do you have to then like carry messages from one side of your family to the other? Because yeah, they just won't speak
they
to
won't
each
talk
other.
To each other. Yeah, that's exactly right. There's literally, you have to go through a breathalyzer test to get into some of their houses to see if you've recently had tea or coffee to even talk to some of the people in my family.
This discussion has reminded me of the Twitter account Stats Britain.
Oh, right, yes.
Which is one of my favourites. So mainly it's stats about drinking tea, the rain, Doctor Who, Sherlock, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch, things which are quintessential.
Can you give us some examples?
Okay, so their latest tweet was, the top four causes of depression in Britain. 1, no tea. 2, Stephen Moffat. 3, lack of snow. And 4, 3 episodes. a reference, I'm assuming, to Sherlock.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
And the short seasons.
That does happen.
Well, that does it for me. Anything else interesting on there?
I'm just having a scroll.
Ooh.
Voldemort would have been caught 50% faster if Harry Potter had grown up to be Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. I'm still scrolling.
I've got one here that says 4 in 5 Britons send sorry cards, sorry texts, sorry flowers, and sorry gifts whenever they're sorry.
And we're Brits, so we're sorry all the time.
Yes.
Whenever an American says something mean about Britain, we look them dead in the eye and whisper, Trump.
Yeah.
That's very true.
76% of Britons only follow American politics because it's funnier than American comedies.
Oh, burn.
Yes.
Oh, and with the start of the new series of Bake Off, there are obviously a lot of Bake Off tweets as well. So if you like a bit of baking and a bit of Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood and Sue Perkins and the like.
Well, for those people that aren't in the UK, Bake Off is the Great British Bake Off, which is one of the greatest shows on television.
It is literally what it sounds like.
Okay, yes. So it is. 100% of Britons can't wait to see Mary's Baps and Paul's Buns.
Yep. That it is literally what it sounds like, but with added euphemisms about everything going on in the programme.
It's one of the most quintessentially British things you could watch.
Yes.
There's a big marquee in a field, there's baking, there's innuendo, there's... Yes. It is quintessential Britishness.
In fact, for the last series, I haven't seen them do it for this series, but last year BuzzFeed did a list of every euphemism in every episode of The Great British Bake Off, which made for an excellent read.
Where would we be without BuzzFeed? More productive.
More productive, yeah.
Happier, generally.
We'd have preferred something for the show this evening, certainly.
Britain's favourite dinosaur is the T-Rex. About
T-E-A
hyphen Rex. Love it.
90% of Britons, this is 13 days ago, 90% of Britons are celebrating Yorkshire Day, which apparently is a thing, by drinking Yorkshire tea until they pass out in a field.
That's the best way to enjoy Yorkshire tea. That's why I drink it.
For the alcohol content.
Yorkshire tea doesn't have alcohol in it, does it?
No, that's Scottish tea. 86% of Britons couldn't even guess what season Britain thinks it is.
89% of British Jedi use the Force mainly to tell when their tea is ready to drink.
Yes. That's brilliant.
Here's one you'll get if you're a Sherlock fan. Stephen Moffat fails at writing endings 2 to 1% of the time.
Clever.
Yes. I've got the 5 most followed religions in Britain, which is the Cumberbitches, Teology, Directionism, Rain Witnesses, and Church of Villainy.
I'm not sure I get that.
Well, basically, every villain is British in everything.
Yes.
Because it's the rules. We've all witnessed rain, and some believe it's the one true path. There are some people that like One Direction, for reasons I do not understand. And also Teology.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The top 3 excuses for being late in Britain. 1, I saw Hugh Grant and followed him. 2, I had to finish my tea. And 3, I didn't want to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always one of those, right? Yeah.
I'm 2 or 3 a lot of the time. So I'll be there in a second, I've just got to finish my tea.
Yep. 96% of Britons are accidentally listening into your conversation on the bus.
If only 93% of Britons were accidentally listening into our podcast.
Yes,
that would push our listening
figures to double digits.
Anyway, I could read Stats Britain.
Yeah, so I was attempting to stop you both from reading Stats Britain because it's now got boring.
It's giving us content though, which something this show could desperately do with. But
I've got loads of things in my head. I'm just waiting to be able to talk about them.
Talk about them.
You've clearly drunk verbal coffee because there's verbal diarrhea coming on over here.
I have more tea news. Ew.
Go on.
I have Starfleet issue Earl Grey.
Starfleet issue Earl Grey.
Yeah.
Does it have tea Earl Grey hot written on it?
It does.
Wow.
Well, there we go.
Does everyone have to drink their Earl Grey tea hot then a la Picard.
Well, I guess if you're in Starfleet, you must.
Well, I think that's a reasonable rule.
Well, according to the tin that I have at home.
Excellent. That's good news.
Far be it from us to go against the will of a tin.
Well, indeed. But, I mean, the reason I was thinking about coffee and tea is that it's interesting that people say that you can't like both. It reminds me of a lot of much less happy conversations around, you know, what kind of things people like and the kind of people that people like. And I was reading a news report a little while ago about bisexuality and a lot of people saying that you can't be bisexual. You're either one or the other, which is crap.
Yes, that's a steaming pile of words I can't say on this program.
Oh, yeah, but it's an interesting belief that you can't like both coffee and tea, apparently. You have to like one or the other if coffee were words I can't say on the show and tea were other words I can't say on the show. But that we have had in the past had a song about detachable one of. I mean, it's just ridiculous that people think that you must like one thing or another thing and that you can't have a sliding scale of liking stuff.
Indeed. There are some people that watch Channel 5 occasionally just for the one intellectual program they do every year. That's acceptable. What? I say with pain on my face. There are some people that enjoy Channel 5. There are some people that enjoy proper television. Who are we to judge if you watch both?
I really don't know where you're going with this joke.
Nor do I.
Quite badly thought
out. Nor do I. I should have written that one down first. That was bad planning.
Mm.
Moving on.
But I mean, it's human nature, which sucks really, because humans seem to want to tell people that they have to put things into boxes. And you can't mix things from one box in another box, which is stupid. It's the same with gender roles as well. The fact that people think that, you know, you can only do some things if you're a boy or some things if you're a girl. And if you're a boy, you can't do girly things. And if you want to change how you identify, you know, realistically, you're under no obligation to be the same person you were 5 minutes ago. But the world disagrees.
Apparently it does.
And things like the shame bar on the Daily Mail website don't exactly help either.
No, they do not. There are certainly, on that topic, there have been a lot of shame stories about Caitlyn Jenner recently, who recently transitioned from Bruce Jenner. And there have been lots of shame, like, ooh, that dress doesn't quite fit. Like, if Caitlyn Jenner is happy, does that really matter?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Anyone else on the planet? Except possibly the person that sold Caitlyn Jenner the dress because they maybe didn't do their job properly. But, moving on. Let's just make sounds.
I think they made Caitlyn Jenner happy, so they did their job perfectly.
Yeah. Absolutely. I spent most of the day wearing sparkly pyjamas. They made me happy.
Fair enough.
They might not have made the many people that I passed in the street while I was wearing them happy, no, but they made me happy.
These are the bad song numbers, as opposed to all of the other times that numbers in front of me change. Mm. But two more people have voted.
Hey!
One for each song. So Patrick Morslay's The Xylophone is still in the lead.
Yes!
By 1 point. Which, given that you're on 4 points and I'm on two, in terms of who's won the bad song thing... It is not the news I wanted to hear. So
it's bad news of the week.
Indeed.
But well, I think the problem is that you have picked a good song.
I really haven't.
You picked a song that I like.
That doesn't make it a good song.
People like as a good,
are you multiple people now? Is that you? You might be the only person that likes this song.
I'm not the only. I can't have been the only person that likes this song. It got to number 8 in the charts.
That doesn't mean people liked it.
When did it come out?
I have no idea. 2000 and something?
What's that?
You sure?
I thought it was late 90s.
19 something?
I'd put it at late 90s if I was guessing.
Mm. I bought
Let's
it.
Google it.
Google it. But I bought it, I think, on tape.
1998.
There we go.
So
I liked this song. But Desiree did loads of good songs.
Yeah, this wasn't one of them.
I was a Desiree fan.
So what else was Desiree then that I might have heard?
Let's find out.
Let's have a Google.
Discography, that's a word. that might be helpful. Other songs recorded by Desiree and released as singles include Feel So High, Mind Adventures, Why Should I Love You, You Gotta Be.
Oh, You Gotta Be is the one that I'm thinking of.
It's, yeah, You Gotta Be is a great song.
It's blue on Wikipedia, which means people have actually heard of it. I Ain't Movin' with no G. Little Child, You Gotta Be, brackets, remix. Okay, and various others.
But You Gotta Be is an amazing song.
That is a good song. I like that song.
That was released in 1994.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's earlier than I would have thought.
Yeah.
But, you know, even vaguely competent artists can record bad songs.
Well, yes. I mean, look at, you know, when you look at Bono, vaguely talented artist, when you look at every song that U2 have ever released,
yeah,
awful. You're looking at me like you disagree.
No, I'm just saying, well, how is somebody a vaguely talented artist if everything they've ever done has been awful?
Well, exactly.
They can hold the instruments the right way around. That's a start.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the voting has changed even more.
Oh, good Lord, it has.
Oh, I am winning. I am winning comfortably at this point in time.
Someone in the chat room has voted for the xylophone one because they like Mr. Weeble and cannot pass up an opportunity to listen to Mr. Weeble's music.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's not how this game works.
Thank you. It sort of is.
It can't, yeah. For some reason, we insist on playing the song that gets the most votes. It was only a matter of time before the audience figured out what was going on.
Well, this is only one audience member, in fairness. Other people have voted for it because they think it's the baddest song.
The baddest.
The worst. The worst song, not the baddest song.
Yeah.
Like said with...
Yeah, there were hand movements.
Hand movements and everything there.
Gesticulation.
Gesticulation. just makes me think of that song.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Should we play someone thing that somebody's requested now?
Why not? It would stop us talking.
Hey, Miss D. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Miss D.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Miss D.
Hi.
Hey.
And that was that request. Which is not going to end well for any of us. So yeah.
Well, it might do, but I'll just dance around the studio.
Yeah, that is. Well, to be fair, you already do that.
I do. Yeah.
So you know, not a lot is going to change.
True.
But yeah, if you play listener requests, we don't have to think of any content. So please do send them in. Type !! Request and then the name of the song in the chat room, or tweet us and put # request, and it'll all end up in the right place.
Just yell at your computer, yes. Really loudly.
Yeah, we'll open the window, see if we can hear you.
Yes,
or light the smoke signals, that's also acceptable.
Yes.
We might have a bit of a carrier pigeon problem, because the last time someone tried to send a carrier pigeon, I think a cat got it, so that could be an issue. But other than that, do send your requests in.
Yes, indeed.
Someone's tried to request something that isn't on Spotify. That's a great start.
You said, I thought you maybe had something to talk about then. But
yeah,
I
really
just...
don't. I was hoping you were going to jump in with some.
Well, yeah,
some,
I was about to, but then you said, so I thought, you know, I'll let Chris talk.
Yeah, I never have anything interesting to say. Say words.
Okay, I'll say some words. So I've been watching Harry Potter after the show 2 weeks ago. We were talking about...
So that's why I came in and found a giant paused Voldemort on the TV, was it?
Dare you say his name?
Oh, no, he's here. Sorry.
Yeah, so I've been... after the show 2 weeks ago, I decided to watch all of the Harry Potter films, and I'm just halfway through finishing off the Deathly Hallows Part 2. So I'm on Part 2 of Part 2 of the Deathly Hallows, which I will continue to watch after the... podcast after the live show, but it's been interesting watching them all together, because I've been catching bits and pieces that I didn't necessarily catch last time around, But the biggest thing for me is how much is missing compared to the books. Because I remember the story of Harry Potter, the kind of 7 years of Harry Potter in my head as I read them in the books, with all the bits and pieces of detail in there. And I'm watching the film and I suddenly think, hang on, something was meant to happen there and they just completely missed it, or that was meant to be said by that person. It's really quite different. I think that's the thing that's got me most this time around.
It really gets me. It always makes me wonder how I would feel watching it if I hadn't read the book. Would I just be completely confused?
Well, yeah, because so much of it is dependent on the book for context.
Or dependent on you seeing some tiny thing that is really easy to miss.
Yeah, but I think to myself, maybe if I'd watched them before I'd read the books, that wouldn't have bothered me and it would have made sense. But yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the case a lot of the time when you read things before watching them.
Yeah, so I've been quite disappointed with the Harry Potter films, really. Yeah, I think, you know, they're generally okay. I was struck by how unevolved Daniel Radcliffe's acting was over the course of the 7 or 8 films. I think towards the 7th or 8th film, he just sounded like he did in the first film, just with a slightly deeper voice. There was no... It didn't feel like he'd really grown up as a character. And you don't seem to rate Daniel Radcliffe's acting particularly highly.
Not from the half an hour of the film that I watched when I arrived. No, not really.
No.
Can't say I was a fan. The film was all right, but yeah, I get what you mean. Daniel Radcliffe is pretty much exactly the... I mean, you know, maybe consistency is a good thing, but if you want a character...
I don't know, I always thought Harry was pretty... I don't know, sort of...
A boring character.
Wooden and sort of unevolved anyway. So
just as a character.
Yeah, just...
So, yeah, maybe yeah. That's what they were going for, maybe. Oh,
I don't know. I think I'd, you know, you'd have to see him in something else, which I haven't done, to really be able to judge, or is he just... Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'd need to see him trying to be somebody else.
Misty said she thought that I can never quite pronounce his surname properly. The Cuaron, the person that directed The Prisoner of Azkaban, said that was the best of the Potter films and she'd have loved to see him do more than just that one. I actually agree. I think The Prisoner of Azkaban, it was one of my favourite books anyway, so I'm kind of biased.
That's my favourite book and my least favourite film.
But see, the thing I liked about the film... was just, I thought it was a little more gothic, I think a little more steampunky than some of the other ones, and I quite liked that. I thought it was quite clever as a film. But, yeah, I mean, the effects and everything are great in the last two, but I just feel like it's just got wooden. It's just boring in a way compared to the books. I remember being so gripped reading those books.
Yeah, I think I've said before, I think it'd make better TV than... film.
Yeah, I agree.
It kind of is sprawling and all the hundreds of characters and you just want to get into all the... It is the minutiae, isn't it? It's all that detail and...
I'd love to know really more about all of the little characters that... I mean, you could almost write books from the point of view of so many of the characters that were in that because, you know, there's just so many different relationships going on between different people and, you know, it would be interesting as a televised series, I think, where you could... tell more different character stories.
I'm kind of excited to see Fantastic Beasts when it comes out because that was taken from that universe but made especially to be a film.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
The thing that first struck me about the Harry Potter films was because I'd seen Potter Puppet Pals before watching any of the Harry Potter films. It surprised me to find out that Neville Longbottom wasn't, in fact, a butternut squash on a stick. But,
what's Potter Puppet Pals?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. You have not encountered Potter Puppet Pals. Okay. The mysterious ticking noise.
Yep, finding it. Catherine and I are just having a bit of a geek moment.
What?
Best thing ever.
What?
So,
gentle listeners, go out and... find Potter Puppet Pals, well, the mysterious ticking noise, because you kind of have to watch it as well as
you have
it.
To find it. Yeah, you have to watch it as well, but we're gonna play it.
Do I need to? I'm just getting it on my screen.
If you give me sound, it's on my screen. Basically, someone made puppet versions of all the Harry Potter characters, and made this song. This is just the intro.
What is this?
So this is Snake.
What is that mysterious ticking noise? Not over here, not over there. Kind of catchy. Snipe, Snipe, Severus Snipe, 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 Severus Snipe.
Dumbledore!
Snipe, Severus Snipe.
Dumbledore!
Snipe, Severus Snipe.
Dumbledore!
Snipe, Severus Snipe.
Dumbledore!
What?
Snipe, Severus Snipe.
Dumbledore!
Snipe, Severus Snipe.
Dumbledore!
Severus Snape.
Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Harry Potter. That's me.
Snape.
Harry.
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 Snape.
Harry. Dumbledore.
Hermione.
Dumbledore.
Harry Potter.
Stop this now.
I'm Harry Potter. I'm Harry Potter.
I'd rather not.
Harry Potter.
Now that's just mean.
What? Was that?
That was the mysterious ticking noise.
Yes, yes, yes. But what was that?
Oh my god! It's Snape's diary.
Okay, just what, to explain to me what this is.
So, someone made puppet versions of all the Harry Potter characters, and
then made hilarious little things for them to do.
Yeah, little videos. Where they do a bunch of stuff.
Wizard swears.
Yeah. Well, why don't you post the link to the thing that you just played in the chat and on Twitter, and I'm sure the listeners can catch up in their own time, and I will look at them after the show and probably cry.
Where is the one where they're bothering? That's a good one.
We've got to find that.
We need
that.
To post a link to that one.
Are all wonderful, and these are all wonderful.
Are they now?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Mainly because Dumbledore's sort of naked most of the time.
Right.
Yeah. We should point out again that Dumbledore is a puppet.
Right, because this is just getting weird now. Like ruining my love of Harry Potter.
Yeah,
and
Dumbledore's
Snape's spectacular unibrow.
Right.
Yeah. This is definitely something that that you'll need to watch, but I've put a link to the mysterious ticking noise in the chat room and we'll be tweeting it shortly.
Good stuff.
Do go watch it. It's wonderful.
Good to know.
And
it's time for this week's Tumble Fumble.
The Tumble Tumble. The Tumble Tumble. I can still speak.
You can speak.
Blah, 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 blah.
Day?
Yeah.
Day?
Indeed. Yeah. Catherine.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome back.
Yes. Tumble Fumble.
Thank you for the cup of tea.
There was tea making and cat wrangling and all sorts.
Yes, as is always the case in the studio. But yes, I do make weird noises, says Jake. Well, given as your name is Jake, I think that's probably quite a weird noise in itself.
Jake, if you are experiencing stop-start, by the way, and you're listening on the YouTube-y thing, listen on the other thing. Because the other thing might work better.
So, I don't know, because the H in Jake H is capital, so is it Jake or Jake? Is it Jake or Jake?
Well, the first one kind of sounds like hiccups. Jake.
Jake? Yeah. Jake. It is then. Can I have one says that ye is pronounced ye. I'm not sure that's how that works with that particular accent, though.
No.
I mean, that accent would be yay.
It would.
But ye, okay.
Catherine, say some words.
Sorry, yes.
Break
fumble.
Up the madness.
Yeah.
The tumble. Fumble.
Yeah.
Blah.
Yes,
blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, why does this happen every week?
Sorry.
Does it?
Yeah, but usually to me.
Oh, okay.
Can I have one that says I'm experiencing, quote, stop, start, unquote, on the, quote, other thing, end quote.
Yeah, well, maybe
Chris, you can.
I think we're just stopping and starting, aren't we?
It's just us.
It's not a tech fault. It's just a us fault.
So tumble fumble.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, I kind of got into a whole spiral with people being photoshopped into pictures where they don't belong. So things like David Tennant in places he shouldn't be.
Okay.
So there's
that
an image
like an
of
anti David Tennant convention or something. what would you define as a place where David Tennant shouldn't be?
So mainly it's an image of the 10th Doctor kind of running, taken out of an episode. I can't remember which one, and he's kind of running and waving an arm in the air, and people just Photoshop him in places that he shouldn't be. Yeah, so it's David Tennant in places he shouldn't be. Tumblr.com.
Blimey.
So that's quite a long one.
A-V.
Yep, found it. It comes up as a Google suggestion. Yeah, I'm going to have to remember how to spell David Tennant, but no, there it is. So we've got...
So the first page on the blog is a little random, but kind of as you start scrolling through, you kind of get the idea. Someone has actually got leggings with the image of David Tennant running with his arm in the air. This is how iconic it is. So you're better off to, scroll a few pages in. Check out the archive.
I see. David Tennant is in a lot of places.
Yeah, I think you can actually buy that as a sticker so that you can add him to places where he shouldn't
be. David Tennant on the side of a bus by the looks of things. So that's
that kind of reminded
David Tennant
me
in
of
a mug.
David Tennant in the moon.
Yes.
He's there. He is in the cast of Mamma Mia.
Yeah. So I see. Oh my god!
You've got American Psycho, and he's just there at the side.
Speaking of Harry Potter, there's a good one of him sort of in that image of that photograph of all the Marauders, not the Marauders from the Order of the Phoenix photograph.
Right.
And he's in there. The 10th Doctor is a member of the Order of the Phoenix.
He's photoshopped onto a Mamma Mia movie poster.
Yeah. And then that reminded me of Mo Farah running away from things.
Yes,
that was
course.
Another awesome one from back during the Olympic Games. I don't know if that still happens ever, but
that was a brilliant one.
I'm sure Mo Farah still runs. There's all sorts of stuff you can run
that
away
he could
from.
Be running away from, yeah.
Yes, I'm googling Mo Farah running, and there's all sorts of stuff because he actually runs. But Mo Farah running away from things. Tumblr, here it is. We've got Mo Farah running away from Prince George. Mo Farah running away from Dwayne Johnson, about to do a wrestling thing on him.
Running away from a giant comet.
Yeah, from a comet. From the guy that did Gangnam Style. Yeah, Mo Farah is running away from a lot of stuff. Running away from Ronald McDonald. or just a terrifying looking clown that looks like Ronald McDonald.
Every terrifying clown looks like Ronald McDonald.
Very true.
So people photoshopping other people into pictures is always a giggle.
That was a great one. David Tennant in the background in Back to the Future. Something that is actually
fantastic.
Plausible.
Yep. So then I just started revisiting other things that we've tumble fumbled in the past. So things like Teensy 12 and his travels. So this is the little knitted version of the 12th Doctor that's slowly making his way around the world. There's actually two versions of him now, one of which I believe is in Australia, and the other one has just finished a stint in San Francisco. So he's been at the Golden Gate Bridge and things during the last week.
Oh, wow.
Some very adorable posts, actually with 12th Doctor commentary on them from the last week. So that's quite cute. I think it will probably be several months before I get to meet Teensy 12. So I've just been distracted by whatever I'm scrolling past.
Yeah. Well, your people photoshopped into things reminded me of something I saw a while ago. There's this guy that photoshopped himself into all sorts of stock photos. Because you know how stock photos really look like fake and created and stuff. So he's just photoshopped himself into the background, like he's at a kid's birthday party in a vest drinking beer. there's this couple kissing and he's just there eating a bag of crisps, banging on the window with a pizza box.
That's brilliant.
There's a picture of a woman on top of a mountain going, yeah, I just climbed a mountain. And there's him, he's photoshopped himself in falling off the mountain.
Right.
So, yeah, there's all kinds of pictures where he's just popped himself in. There's one where he's vacuuming an old man. Which literally is what it sounds like. I'm gonna have to tweet the link to this because
classic.
Because it's just confusing but funny at the same time.
There's a lovely picture on Mo Farah running away from things. It's Mo Farah running away from the new paradigm Daleks, which is quite a good one.
Yeah.
So yeah, today is all about people being photoshopped into stuff.
Excellent.
That sounds of things.
And that's not a terrible thing.
No, it's not. If anyone wants to create any amusing photoshops during the show, do send them in.
Why, indeed.
Especially if you'd like to, you know, put David Tennant somewhere he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Would you like to put David Tennant somewhere he shouldn't be?
Not really. Okay, that's an interesting pose you're making there.
You're making a really weird face. No,
this is my innuendo face. Wondering
where I can insert David Tennant.
Oh, God, it's happening again.
Yeah, should we play another song?
Yeah. Probably a good idea. Catherine talking.
Yes.
We'll lose our clean label again.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that opened the Spotify web player for some reason.
That totally worked.
That's good then.
Okay.
You stall for a minute while I type this into the thing.
Yeah, we'll just vacuum some OAPs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I'm tweeting the link to that right now because it's really weird and you need to see it.
Yeah, see, that song's not actually available in the UK. That's why we've not been able to play it.
That makes sense. That's a shame. We can't play that.
We can't, unfortunately.
Sad times.
Our license doesn't actually cover us to play that if it's not available in the UK.
That means we have to actually come up with some content for the next 4 to 5 minutes.
I know, I was just going to play another song.
Oh, that's good then.
Whoa, yeah. Oh.
Fishy wishy.
Yes.
Yeah. So, thinking of... I just revealed in the chat room that is one of my often listened to dance around in the shower songs if I'm feeling particularly funky whilst doing my hair in the morning. But it did get us thinking here in the studio about inappropriate song timings. So, you know, have you ever been listening to a song or switched over to a song that's completely inappropriate for the place that you're at and someone has then heard you? So, for example, I was listening to The Lonely Island at work once, and my headphone kind of popped out the headphone jack, and it switched over to speakers right on the chorus of the song Jizzed in My Pants.
Which we checked, and we probably are allowed to say.
Yes, but it's it was slightly embarrassing as I was at work at the time.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I don't think I've ever experienced it myself, but there have been countless occasions where usually it happens because someone sets a song as their ringtone and then their phone rings when they're in a meeting, cinema, class at school or something like that.
And an embarrassing song plays.
And an embarrassing song plays.
Because that's a double fail, because not only have you got an embarrassing song as your ringtone, but you've also forgotten to put your phone on silent.
Yes.
So everyone's going to turn and judge you anyway.
Yes, especially because you then have to stop it from happening by getting your phone out, facing everyone else in the room.
Makes it really obvious.
Making eye contact.
You. Yeah.
And then worse is when you then answer the phone, like really feebly. Yeah. Yeah, I'm in a meeting right now.
Yeah.
It's not a fun time.
How about you, Catherine?
I don't really get that with the embarrassing songs, but certainly the phone thing. Mm. Yeah, I mean, my phone makes angry the message tone is an angry Dalek offering people tea.
Yeah, that's happened on the show.
So, yeah, that happens all the time.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Constantly.
I'm sure if you listen back to the first episode of the program, you can hear Catherine's phone offering us tea in the background at some point.
Yes, I think that was the lesson on putting your phone on silent before a show.
May not even have been limited to the first show.
No.
I think it happened.
You've got the hang of it now, though.
More or less.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, pretty much only if somebody messages me before the show to remind me.
Yeah, which I do now every week, just to be on the safe side.
anyway.
So how about you, listeners? Have you had any inappropriate songs that you have suddenly found lots of people listening to? Have you suddenly gone to play something at a funeral that was meant to be a song that somebody wanted to hear, and it turns out you'd got the track wrong? Maybe I'd say that would be quite an embarrassing thing.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, not a lot of CDs come with the funeral march and Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead next to each other in the track listing. So it's less
of a missing
risk.
A trick.
But yeah, they are. I'm trying to think of the really inappropriate song I want played at my funeral.
Well, that's slightly depressing.
It is slightly depressing, but now we've said it, I do want a really inappropriate song played at my funeral.
Oh, I want my funeral to be entirely inappropriate. I don't yes. want it to be a sad
You'd
occasion at
Desiree
all.
You'd have Desiree with Life.
Yes, yes, and everyone has to eat a piece of toast and watch the evening news while they do it.
Oh, my God.
Which brings us back onto Bad Song of the Week. I wonder how we're doing, because, of course, we are this week voting between...
To see a ghost, it's a sight that I fear most. I'd rather have a piece of toast, watch the evening news.
A song that I write quite like.
You may be the only one. Ray.
And then Patrick Moore plays the xylophone. Yes. See, it doesn't start badly at all.
They never start badly. That's how they get you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, life. Oh, life. I don't want to see a ghost. It's a sight that I fear most. I'd rather have a piece of toast. Watch the evening news.
All she's saying there, she doesn't want to see a ghost. She's afraid of ghosts. She'd rather have a piece of toast. Just watch the evening news.
I can understand why she would rather have a piece of toast, because she was desperately struggling for a rhyme. The evening news makes no sense whatsoever.
Do you not eat toast when watching the evening news?
No.
I've always eaten toast when watching the evening news. Possibly as a result of listening to this song as a child.
Yeah, I probably. I can't
think maybe
of any
I heard
situation.
It and thought, evening news, toast, brilliant combination idea, and then I started... doing that.
Since we've got like 9 minutes before we try and finish the show.
Yes.
Should we do some bad song thing? I mean, we already kind of are, but
yes.
Shall we have
so
some actual
what,
final
what
numbers?
Is, yeah, what are the final vote numbers on the bad song of the week then?
Well,
drum roll, please.
Someone's going to have to do a... Yeah, that'll do. The winner is Patrick Moore Plays the Xylophone.
I win again. I am the best at picking really terrible songs.
You're on 5 points now.
Out of
7.
Yes.
How has this been allowed to happen?
Oh, because you keep picking songs that people don't like.
If I kept picking songs that people don't like, I'd be winning.
Okay,
that's
you keep
how this
picking
game works.
Songs that people don't like.
Well, that's just confusing. Although, to be fair, only 5 people voted tonight. So, you know...
We're not
if
supposed
you, if,
to say that.
Well, I know, but, you know, vote, damn it.
Fine.
Yeah, that was the bad song of the week. And it's nearly the end of the show.
It is nearly the end of the show. It's been a fun week this week. We've talked about
Indeed.
Combine harvesters.
We have. We've talked about people being photoshopped into situations they shouldn't be.
Mo Farah running away from things.
Indeed. And David Tennant in places he shouldn't be.
Yeah, that was just creepy.
Yeah.
We also talked about hot and cold beverages and the fact that you can indeed like both of them. You awful people, just accept that some people can like tea and coffee and it's fine.
All right, then. What else did we talk about? I've only got combine harvesters written down. That was basically the only takeaway I had from this week, except the literal takeaway that we ate before the show.
And during the show.
And during the show.
And probably for a bit and, after the
yeah,
show as well.
In fact, we're still halfway through it now. But
we talked a bit about Harry Potter.
We did, and how the films were completely disappointing.
You introduced us all to Potter's puppet pals.
Yes, well done. To be fair,
We will be watching more of those after the show.
We will be watching more of those after the show.
I think I look forward to that. Do I?
You will.
Your head's nodding. Okay. We've had several cups of tea and milk and water during the course of the show this week. It's been quite a boring beverage week for us here.
Yes.
And the next show.
Yes.
When's the next show?
The next show is on August the 28th. That's August, one of the things I wrote down.
There we go.
That's actually, I've literally written down the only useful bit of information.
So that is once again 2 weeks from today, as we try and do the show 2 weeks every Friday.
Yes, sometimes it works.
Sometimes it does work. So that will be the 8th show of the series?
It will.
8th show of the series. Will. And as always, you'll be able to listen to this back afterwards once we've got the recording up later tonight or tomorrow morning. So that is us, really. That's the Geekly Chronicles this week.
Indeed.
Thank you very much for tuning in. Although that's a bit of an outdated expression, really, tuning in. You don't kind of tune a dial anymore.
No.
I wonder if people can hear the cat meowing at the door in the background of the podcast.
They probably can.
Yeah. Should get some better soundproofing.
Mm.
Or lock the cat in a cupboard.
Yeah. Either would work.
Or just, you know, let him in.
Could let him in, but then there'd be a lot more meowing.
Potential meowing, I
Potential
suppose.
Meowing.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, I suppose. They might just fall asleep in a corner.
Might have to calculate a meow risk factor.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that does sound thrilling.
Jake has put a dot and a zero under slash.
Yep. That's some punctuation.
Or no. And has also now said, cat?
Yes. Well, that answers that question.
Yes, Jake. Cat.
Yes, cats.
Well, apparently they can't hear any cats.
Occasionally happen.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's...
We had a cat invasion during one of the songs.
Indeed,
we ran into the studio. It happens.
Yeah, like thousands of them.
Yeah, it was carnage.
Yeah.
Absolute carnage.
But then that's what happens when we release thousands of mice into the studio, so...
Yes, when you were saying that you had a problem with your mouse just before, so...
That is the issue.
Yeah.
We're doing that.
Windows 10.
Shaking
my fist.
Catherine is still shaking her fist at Windows 10. But hey, we will leave you there. So goodbye, Catherine.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me. And we will speak to you in 2 weeks' time. And as a break from tradition, since Chris has only scored 2 points with the bad song of the week... I just got distracted by the chat again. Apparently the random punctuation was, says Jake, a man waving goodbye, although equally it could be a woman or anyone waving goodbye. That is a punctuation of no fixed gender.
It's just a lowercase o waving goodbye, really.
Yes. Well, I like the waving goodbye, so thank you, Jake. Goodbye to you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.